What's up, Atlanta sports fans? I'm Graham Waldrop, and alongside me, as always, is the Braves are winning an NLDS Kalau, and we are Atlanta Zone. Two Atlanta natives recapping the week that was in Atlanta professional sports. Whack-ass hijinks, euphoria, and analysis. This is a special little mini-sode after Game 2 of the 2020 NLDS, where the Braves have taken a commanding lead over the Marlins, two games to none, with just one game left to secure a berth to the NLCS to face the winner of the Dodgers and the Padres. Adam, how's it going, sir?
Graham, it's obviously going really well right now. Careful with the use of words like commanding.
It is a commanding lead. You can't deny that.
Well, you know, we've been swept in series before. All it takes is three games.
True.
But, you know, I mean, it's just such a weird sensation to be up two games to nothing. And in great fashion. Like, first game one was just the offense showing up, picking up Freed. Game two, bullpen, Ian Anderson. You gotta love it, man. Like, I understand we're playing the Marlins, but we're up 2-0 in the NLDS this time. Feels like we've been in the playoffs forever, but it's only the NLDS. But it feels fantastic.
Yeah, it might have been more of a bitch to face the Padres or the Cardinals or the Dodgers, but you can't, I mean, like, I'm trying to convince myself not to think about that shit. And I think it's a defense mechanism because I'm not used to this. I mean, I haven't felt this confident since I was 11 years old that the Braves can actually succeed in the playoffs. It's a very odd feeling. Like, you were just saying, would you ever think that we would be up 2-0 in a playoff series? I was like, not in my lifetime.
Yeah.
For the rest of my lifetime.
We lose game one, and then
we win game two. Somehow.
We win game two and are ecstatic. It's the best day of our life,
right,
to be 1-1, generally going back to the other team's home field and hopefully split there and then win game five. So the Marlins do get home field advantage, if you call it tomorrow. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, they got their ace going out there in Sixto Sanchez. We got Kyle Wright going out there. But Brian Snitker, Graham and I kept talking about the whole game, he's been saving some arms. So we've consistently seen Matzik. We've seen Martin in game one, who had a rough game one. Melanson's been out there every day. Will Smith has been an absolute stud. Darren O'Day's been out there. But we got Minter, who we haven't seen. We've got Tomlin, who we haven't seen. Shane Green, who we haven't seen. Grant Dayton, who we haven't seen. And who's the other guy we were talking about? We got one more, Graham.
Bryce Wilson.
Noah.
And probably somebody else we're not thinking of.
Point is, I think Snitker has been strategic. He's holding out of these arms, I assume, for game four, but maybe you just throw him out there game three, take care of business. We'll see what Kyle Wright does. But if he does get in trouble early tomorrow, expect one of those guys to come out of the bullpen pretty quick.
I thought it was really clutch of God or whoever's up there, Adam, honestly, to delay that second game of the Cubs-Marlins, because what that did is it basically did not give Sixto a full 5 days to recover for game two. And now Mattingly decided not to pitch more short rest and pitch him game three. And basically what that gave us is that even though Pablo Lopez actually pitched a pretty decent game, only gave up two runs, that certainly gave us the advantage, a leg up, for sure in game two. And also it basically makes game three a kind of a fuck it game for the Braves. If we don't perform well and we lose, who cares? We got two more chances to take care of business, as opposed to, holy shit, we got to face Sixto Sanchez and maybe we lose and now it's a 1-1 game. I mean, everything's just kind of coming up Millhouse for the Braves right now.
So Graham, it sounds like this is a playoff miracle.
Yeah.
And that you're admitting to the baseball gods possibly existing. That was the baseball gods that rained out that Cubs-Marlins game.
You know what would be really a cruel twist of fate is if that they did this just to get our hopes up and think, oh man, they're one game away from the NLDS, but they're going to lose three games in a row now. What if that's their way of fucking with us?
We're staying humble. We're staying humble. Right. I'm not getting excited about anything yet.
All right. You sound pretty excited.
I'm excited in the moment. You got to appreciate a win.
Right.
But, I mean, they got their ace going tomorrow. That could be 2-1. We don't have a fourth pitcher. That could be 2-2, and then we're going to game five. We got Freed. So
it is scary in the sense that now we're finally getting into territory we haven't gone into in the postseason, in the sense that now we have, you know, we've seen Freed and Anderson pitch a combined four games now, and all of a sudden you start to get to a place that we haven't seen before, where now Kyle Wright comes out there. And you have to wonder, how is he going to react to the big stage and all that stuff? And then, not just tomorrow, but how does that affect us the rest of the way in the sense of who's pitching game four? Is it a bullpen game? And if, God forbid, there's a game five, is Free going to be ready to go? So this opens up a lot of questions, and you just hope that we can do what we did today, maybe scrape out a couple of solo home runs and get the fuck out of wherever we are, Houston.
Houston, yeah. Let's move down to Arlington. Like, things are looking good, but we're not going to get ahead of ourselves.
No.
Keep taking care of business. We haven't lost a playoff game. That's pretty freaking remarkable.
Four playoff games in a row victorious.
Keep it going. I want to give these Marlins their first ever playoff loss. There's some cocky Marlins fans out there on Twitter because they got a couple World Series in the bag. But, you know, fantastic job today. In a game that we didn't play that great, honestly.
No.
Like, the offense, we never had two runners on base at the same time. There were no real threats, just a couple solo homers.
The only threat really was that Markakis leadoff double. I can't remember what inning that was, but, you know, after that, we had Riley strikeout, Acuna strikeout, and I think Freddie grounded out. Well, that was a nice play by Birdie to rob him of a hit. However, yeah, it was just frustrating today that we couldn't come through with guys on base at all. And thank God Ian Anderson pitched the game of his life today. Once again, just...
Is it?
What?
Was that the game of his life? I think he pitched better against Cincinnati. I thank God Ian Anderson's a stud.
Yeah, maybe that's the right thing to say. Thank God he came out with another great performance today.
Got out of that first inning jam.
Yeah, had his one bad inning and then was just... pretty much lights out for the rest of the game, but not to toot my own horn, but I kept saying, man, Ian Anderson's the real deal, and so far he's proven me right.
Yeah, you've had a lot of bad predictions, but that one you got right, Graham. No.
So what did you think about Anderson being pulled? Whenever that was, in the sixth.
You know what, honestly, I mean, you know, I'm generally, I go with Snit's gut. Technically, nothing Snit has done so far this playoffs has been wrong. But after the big strikeout, I would have let Ian Anderson attack that next hitter.
Yeah, it was a long at bat. I mean, it must have been at least 10 pitches, if not more, against Jesus Aguilar. He struck him out, and I was like, well, he's got all the momentum in the world. He's only got one guy on first base. Why not let him finish? Then O'Day comes in, hits a guy, walks another guy, bases loaded, and luckily Matt Joyce grounded out to first base. I mean, he did a good job getting out of the situation, but it's not to play hindsight as 20-20 because we won the game and everything worked out, but it was one of the scarier moments so far against the Marlins in the sense that, that was probably the most afraid I've been in this playoff series. Even when we were down 4-1 in game one, I was like, the offense can just get going. I know the offense can get going. It's going to be okay. Like, I'm not as concerned because it was the third inning. But this is like the sixth inning. And, you know, and the offense hadn't done shit yet. And it was just, you know, throughout the whole game other than those two home runs. So you're just like, if the Marlins can bust it out here and score three or four runs, that could be all she wrote potentially. So it was a very scary, scary scenario, for sure. Yeah, I would have let Anderson keep going, even though I know he was like 91, 92 pitches, but he looked great all day, so. Hey, but it worked out.
Trust that bullpen. He's trusting those veterans. I mean, you get the logic. It's a rookie out there, tough situation.
Yeah.
Let O'Day get the last out. It worked out. We're going to keep trusting that bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
They're studs. Great offense. Great. I mean, the bullpen might be the best part of our team.
They are. I think that is...
Like, everyone's tooting our offense's horn, but, I mean, this bullpen is just consistent as hell. They've given up, what, one run now in Chris Martin yesterday?
That's it.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, ridiculous. Like, the bullpen is clearly the MVP of the postseason so far. I think they've pitched something like 20... I don't even know how many innings they pitched, but, yeah, I think Chris Martin's the only guy that's given up a run thus far, and that is insane considering all the... I mean, without the bullpen, we don't beat the Reds. We don't win that first game. If we have a bullpen like the Cubs or the Cards or the Padres, you know, it's, you know, we're not sitting here talking about we're in the NLDS problem.
So, kudos to Alex Anthopoulos for addressing that need and attacking it.
I tell you, like, after 2018, man, I mean, I know we didn't get anybody until the trade deadline in 2019, but, you know, started to build a foundation of a strong bullpen, and now it's so hulked out to the point where it's like you feel confident with anybody. I mean, also, Tyler Matzek is just unbelievable.
Also, thank God they didn't put Luke Jackson on this the NLDS roster. I was a little concerned that was going to happen, but I think we've moved on from Luke Jackson being someone we have to worry about in the playoffs.
And that's good, too, from Snicker's standpoint, not relying on him. Yeah. You don't need to be doing that. So now... Adam, the stage is set for game three tomorrow, Sixto Sanchez versus Kyle Wright. Another 2 o'clock game. And we'll be watching. Y'all will be watching. We'll be hoping and praying for the first visit to the NLCS since 01. So, and yeah.
Enjoy this win, Atlanta. 2-0. Stay humble. Nothing's a given.
Yeah, don't be spouting off on Twitter like Acuna did and strike out four times the next day.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Yeah, it's a long series still. We've seen teams come back from this. I think they said like 87% of teams up 2-0 win in the NLDS. Atlanta has a tendency to fall in that 13% every now and then. So let's just get that next one, and then we'll celebrate a little more.
Yeah, it's far from over. But it's also, at the same time, very close. You can sniff it. You can smell it. You can feel it.
As Bruce Springsteen said, I smell blood.
All right, until next time, we'll probably talk to you guys next week. Hopefully we're talking about a Braves trip to the NLCS. Hospitamatasip.
Hospitamatasip.